This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the latest edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. It's a tennis betting podcast and YouTube show brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley, and joining me to look ahead to tomorrow's two men's quarterfinals here in Miami is our senior ATP Tour handicapper, it's Sean Calvert. Good afternoon to you, Sean. Good morning here. Good afternoon to you. How are things?
Well, it's cold and wet and it's raining, so you're not missing much here in the UK. I hope things are better in Miami, but things are fine, yeah. It's just the weather's taking a bit of a turn for the wintry again today.
I saw the England game. I watched the soccer match last night, and the rain, and it was horrible.
I didn't see that. Where were they playing?
Wembley.
Oh yeah, it was hammering it down last night as well. Actually, it's we're getting all this kind of classic English weather, aren't we? The bit. It was nice and bright sunshine this morning. Now it's freezing cold and raining again. So you're not missing much here.
No, well, we had two terrible days, and it's, you know, the weather has picked up in Miami. I think there's some rain forecast for tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be affecting, though, the order of play over at the Hard Rock, because we've only got two matches to talk about. Obviously, the scheduling yesterday was a bumper day due to that rain delay earlier. Let's have put all the last 16 matches into one day. So, unfortunately, we couldn't record yesterday. We'll be back today, but not the greatest of offerings. There's only two men's quarterfinals. There's two men's quarterfinals today. Over at the Hard Rock, afternoon session and an evening session. I'll be over at the evening session this evening. And then there is two tomorrow. And those are the matches we are going to talk about today. Before we go on to that, tournament so far, it looks very quick. I don't know what your magic system tells you, Sean, but it looks very, very fast out there.
I wouldn't say very fast. It looks sort of medium quick to me. I wouldn't say it was overly quick. I think I haven't seen all the stats, but the ones that I have seen after the 92 matches were kind of the same as last year. 82% hold, 73% first serve points won. You'll probably be in a better position to tell me which courts are quicker. The players seem to be saying that the main stadium is slightly slower, although the CPIs that I've seen show that's the court pace index, show that pretty much all the courts are roughly the same. I think it's 36.8 or something like that. That's not particularly quick. It's medium, I would say, at best. But you can probably tell me the difference between stadium and grandstand and the others.
Well, I only watched one match on stadium court, to be fair, because we were having the hospitality on the main court. So I didn't. So on the stadium court, I watched it, okay. But on the grandstand court, which is the outside court, I only watched the end of Serendulu against Kachanov.
That looks a bit quicker to me, but the CPI...
Last year, it was very quick because the sun was beating down it today. It was quite shady, but I mean, where we are now, we're in Miami Beach, and obviously it's much more cloudy here and a bit windy. When we go towards the Hard Rock, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. So as you see from my videos on Instagram, on my morning videos, the weather here is, even though it's a 25-minute taxi journey, it's a lot cooler here and a lot breezier here. At the court, there was no wind that day at all. It was really, really hot. There was a little bit going around, but nothing really to what you would expect on the morning when you woke up here.
I mean, the wind's the problem, isn't it? The wind has been a problem all week, really.
Yeah, the other thing I would say, though, is that when I said it's quick, I suppose the matches I've actually sat down and watched live have been involving very heavy servers. Mm. I saw Zverev play Christopher Eubanks, where the first set was just dominated by the servers. Zverev's serve was exceptional. And I suppose I took that thinking, well, this looks faster because of the players I was watching. I suppose if you know, when you take a net...
It does make a difference, yeah. If you're watching courts, they can make anything look slow. And, you know, conversely, someone like Shelton or Zverev, they can make it look quicker.
Yeah, so from my eye, I think I've probably been looking at the matches where the serve dominated. I watched Rebecca on the women's game as well. She was playing Madison Keys. So that will make any surface look fast. So I suppose from the matches that I actually watched, you probably took into thinking it's probably a little bit quicker than what it was. But we have two quarterfinals to look at. And the first one we're going to speak about is the big one of the day, I suppose. Carlos Alcaraz against Grigor Dimitrov. Carlos Alcaraz does lead the head-to-head 3-1 here. Alcaraz has been in good form. You know, he's bidding to win the Sunshine Double. He was sitting seven rows in front of us, or eight rows in front of us last night at the basketball at the Heat. He was there.
Win the Miami Heat?
No, they got beat very easy by the Golden State Warriors. So it was a good result for my son. We watched the Warriors, the Heat beat the Cavaliers, and then we watched the. But I bet on two handicaps. I bet the Heat giving up the points in the first match, and they won by like 30 points. And I bet the Warriors yesterday -4, and they won very easy. So I was cashing tickets at the basketball. I'm not doing so well at the tennis. I didn't expect it to be that way. But there you go.
We did all right last time. I think three of my four leans on the show won last time, all at plus money. So that's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? You don't have an official pick, but three of your four leans win it at big prices. But there you go. That's the ups and downs of betting, I suppose.
Alcaraz, Dimitrov, like I say, Alcaraz leads 3-1 in the head-to-head. Dimitrov is an underdog here, -480 is respect for Alcaraz to win. He's the tournament favourite. He's the number one seed. He's been in to win the Sunshine Double. He's every favourite, -480. The spread here is 3.5. Give it up 3.5 for the Spaniard is -167, +3.5 for Dimitrov for +130. 21.5 is the total, over is -127, and under is even money. Dimitrov come through an absolute epic match against Hercash to extend his winning head-to-head record against the Pole to 5-0. That was only yesterday, and it was quite late in the evening yesterday, so that, you know, they've got an extra day rest, but that was an epic match for him in a tiebreak in the final set. Whereas Alcaraz had the luxury of winning easy and sitting courtside in the company of Nigel Seeley and Harry Seeley at the basketball.
What more could you ask for if you're Carlos Alcaraz?
Exactly. He'd be saying, when he asked for a selfie, I said, "Not now, Carlos. I'm busy with the boy."
You were busy. I saw what you were busy with. Video in his messy section of the hotel room.
If I could turn the camera here,
please don't.
It's absolutely. I don't think you'd be able to cope. You would absolutely. It just send you wild, Sean. The mess in this room.
Are you suggesting I've got some sort of clean freak tendencies?
Well, I think you have a few tendencies. So I'm just guessing clean freak would be added to the others.
It would annoy me if that's what you mean. Yeah, but
look, hang on. Let me just show you this. Hang on. This is just one side of the room. That's just light there, laying there, and then another load. Hang on. He's got every sock and pants you can think of. Oh. Just at the bottom there. That's the tidy section.
I'd be all right with that, I think, because, you know, not so much that, but I think because, you know, the age he is, and sort of if it was me and Lagan, I would kind of expect, if I'm expecting it doesn't bother me that much, but it'll be fine. What were we talking about? Alcaraz and Dimitrov.
We're talking about tennis, Sean. We're talking about tennis.
I know roughly what we're talking about.
Tournament favorite, Carlos.
Yeah, I just had an image of Harry's socks there. Kind of, it put me off my stride. Yeah, I mean, Dimitrov's playing well, isn't he? But in these sort of big matches, I'm not so keen. Doesn't tend to produce his best in these sort of matches. Dimitrov, I've done a bit of research on how he's done against top five ranked opponents in his career. His win rate is just 26%. In Masters 1000s only, that falls to 22% win rate. In Majors, slightly higher, 27% win rate, but that's because he's played fewer matches against them. So if you're just doing basic maths, 22% win rate equals roughly odds of 4.55 +355 in American. But we're only getting 4.2 or +320 on Dimitrov on the money line. So instantly, I'm not thinking Dimitrov's in particularly good value. Going slightly further into those stats, in Masters 1000s, quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, Dimitrov is 0-7 win-loss against top five opponents, which highlights the point that I want to make, that Dimitrov obviously plays in a very eye-catching way. And when it's good, you know, it's very, very good. But he does have a tendency to not show up in these big matches. I guess this one, he is a quite a heavy underdog. You know, he can have a swing freely, and it may go okay for him. But I'm not holding out a great deal of hope on him winning. I don't think there's any value on the money line. I mean, he did beat Alcaraz last time they played in Shanghai, but you have to bear in mind that at that time, towards the back end of last year, Alcaraz was struggling for form and fitness. And if you look at the overall head-to-head, the four matches that they've played, the service points won and return points won totals, Alcaraz heavily leading this by 109-91. It's pretty overwhelming. Delving slightly deeper into that, Alcaraz is 14% ahead in terms of second serve points won. Dimitrov's actually only held serve 65% of the time against Alcaraz. So historically, it's been a struggle for him. And, you know, you can see why. The one shining light for Dimitrov actually is the 2024 main level stats. He's got a very, very similar win rate to Alcaraz, 82% for Dimitrov, 83% for Alcaraz. Service points won and return points won totals this season aren't that far behind. He's not that far behind, 109 to Dimitrov, 114 to Alcaraz. The other issues that are kind of abounding regarding this match is that it's I don't know about the schedule, but it's probably going to be a night match, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have
that,
thought so, yeah.
That would put me off. It seems to me like the stadium court is slower. And the other issue is that Dimitrov hasn't played on it yet, whereas Alcaraz has. There's also the fatigue element that you talked about after the Hercash match, which was 2 hours and 42 minutes and a long, late one, wasn't it, for Dimitrov? That said, if you do want a prop on this match, I think that this is the way to go. If you look what Alcaraz has done versus top 10 opponents, I'm counting Dimitrov as a top 10 opponent here, even though he's number 11. He's certainly playing top 10 tennis. So I think it's fair to count him as top 10. Alcaraz against top 10 opponents in his opening set. He's only won one of his last 12 opening sets against top 10 opponents in nine games or fewer. And eight of his last 12 have gone to at least 12 games. So bearing in mind that Dimitrov's held serve 91% of the time this season and 97% of the time so far this Miami, you would have to be looking towards over 9.5 games in set one here, which last time I checked was 1.84 minus 119 with BetRivers. That's the only angle I can see that that interests me here. I'm not sure I see Alcaraz losing this.
Yeah, neither can I. 32 different markets available with BetRivers. If you look at Alcaraz on a 9-match winning run, and obviously 7 of those 9 matches he's won in straight sets. And Dimitrov, only the last match they played was a match that actually went overs on the total line, which is 21.5. The other 3 have cashed under. So, you know, you could look at that first set. I was quite looking at, you know, if you wanted to get a bit more juice for your money, instead of betting Alcaraz at minus 480, you could probably take minus 160 for him to win 2-0. And the other thing I would say to you, Sean, is that I was here last year and he had a big support. The support for Alcaraz here is massive now. I mean, he's arrived. He's a big name player. He's the Wimbledon champion coming to a place where there's largely a Hispanic population. And that Americans are massively behind him. And Dimitrov will have hardly anybody in that arena. It'll be packed out and he will have all the support. And he's absolutely loved it, this part of town. So I think Alcaraz will win quite easy. So you could play the 3.5 minus 167. You could go for the under 9.5 in set one or under 10.5, whichever one you want to go on with BetRivers. And you want to play the 2-0 Alcaraz. But we think that the number one seed will safely progress through to the semi-finals. And who will he face in the semi-finals? It could be a man who produced the shock of the year last year, who beat Alcaraz in Rome. It was Marazan. He's up against Zverev. They haven't met before. Zverev is a heavy favourite, minus 375, plus 285 for Marazan. The spread here is 3.5, minus 130 for Zverev, giving up 3.5, plus 3.5 for Marazan is plus 102. And the total is one higher than the Alcaraz match. It's 22.5, with over minus 104, under minus 120. We spoke about scheduling for the Alcaraz-Dimitrov match being quite crucial. I think the scheduling here is really crucial as well, because I expect it being an afternoon match. The play starts at 1 p.m. afternoon time. And if it's good afternoon time, I think that will suit Zverev in probably the quicker conditions here. But Marazan, saying that, has an unbelievable record for a young player up against the top 10. I was reading somewhere today, I think he's 4-1 against top 10 players, which he doesn't fear them. So what do you think of this one?
I think that's the key. I mean, a lot of these young players, they go well when there's no pressure. They're not, you know, but they crumble a little bit when they're facing the top guys. And that doesn't seem to be the case with Marazan. As you just said, he seems to revel in playing higher ranked players, not just in 250s, but in, you know, in big tournaments. As you said, he's 4-1 win loss against top 10 opponents. The only loss came to Alcaraz at Indian Wells. If that's your only loss, you're not doing too bad, are you? I've taken a bit of a delve into the stats on this one. In the last 12 months, Marazan is 5-2 win loss versus the current top 10, even though they may not have been in the top 10 at the time of the match when he played them. The current top 10 as it stands now. And in those 7 matches, he's got service points won and return points won total of 102. So he's on plus ranking plus points against in 7 matches against the guys that are currently in the top 10. He's won 5 of them. You can't not be impressed by that. If you compare it to what Zverev's done in the same time frame, the last 12 months, also versus the current top 10, he's 7-13 win-loss, and his service points won every 10 points won total is 97. So on that, you could argue that Marijan is playing the better tennis against the better players, the better opposition. And in Masters 1000s, his record is very impressive indeed. 14 wins and 3 losses in the main draw of Masters 1000s, Marijan. And you can see why his game is effective against the better players. There aren't too many weaknesses. Very solid all-round game, very strong serve. Forehand, he can use a lot of pace, a lot of depth. There's decent variety on it as well. Backhand's very solid. Likes to mix in a lot of drop shots, which I think could be very, very effective against someone like Zverev, who likes to play very deep. Zverev kind of has to force himself to take a slightly closer court position. His default position is deep. So someone like a Marijan who can play that drop shot, I think will be very effective. If you look at what Marijan's done this Miami, his stats are slightly skewed by the fact that he had a very easy win over a supposedly sick Holger Rune. But let's have a look at them anyway. So far this tournament, his service points won and return points won total is 109. And his service hold and break total is 127. Those are fabulous stats. But as I say, they might be a little bit boosted by the fact that Rune didn't put up much of an effort. Zverev's numbers, again, decent, but not... These aren't tournament winning stats for me. A service points won and return points won total of 104. And a service hold and break total of 107. Yeah, that'll probably get you as far quarters, semis, maybe even the final. But he's not going to be winning the tournament with those numbers. I also looked into Marijan. Maybe a slight question mark against big servers. He's slightly unproven. He hasn't played that many big servers, but he did beat Nicholas Jarry in Indian Wells, and he beat Popper in a couple of days ago. So I'm not too worried about that. My bet here is going to be Marijan to win a set. That's when last time I looked, it was minus 104 with Bet Rivers. Marijan plus 1.5 sets. I'd be quite surprised if Zverev wins this as comfortably as his current odds suggest that he will.
Is that an official pick?
Yeah, official pick there. I feel like there's a good upside to Marijan that it perhaps isn't being given the full respect by the layers. I couldn't have Zverev at that price. Absolutely not. Not for me.
I was similar way of thinking of you, but my angle here was the over 22.5 games at minus 104. Because I think if Zverev does win, a tiebreak is very likely. If Marijan, as you say, takes a set, you know, it's the same. It's exactly the same price. Marijan to take a set or the tiebreak, and you could get over the total games, and you could get a straight set Zverev match and still cash on the over 22.5 games. So I was leaning towards the over 22.5 at minus 104. But I'm in the same way of thinking as you. The Marijan here is a little bit of value, and I think he's going to give Zverev all kinds of problems here tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon, whenever the...
And there's the wind as well, of course. Zverev said he hates playing in the wind. He called himself the worst wind player on the tour. He's not done too bad, has he? Getting the quarterfinals of a Miami that's featured a lot of strong wind, but I'm never keen on him when it's windy. So there's that element. Obviously, we don't know when this match is going to be played, but I think at these prices, I think Marijan, as you said, is a bit of value.
Yeah, the weather forecast tomorrow is still continuing and a bit of rain around early. So that is Miami Beach. I mean, like I say, the weather here is very different from, even though it's a 20-minute cab ride, it's very, very different. Remember, there's a few ways to follow us here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. You can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios, and also give us a follow on our socials at Instagram and on Twitter at Because We Win. Before we go, Sean, I just want to make a couple of other sort of points before we wrap up. Okay. The first thing, the breaking news this morning, Goran Ivanišević is parted company with Novak Djokovic, party company with Goran Ivanišević. Anything we should take into that with some clay court season coming up, the French Open just around the corner? You know, we know how important he's been in Novak's last sort of 10 years or so with him by his side. What do you think of that?
I think he's also, I heard that he'd also fired his PR team as well. So I'm not sure what's going on there. It doesn't sound great, does it? With someone of his age. I'm always a bit concerned when someone who's at the latter stages of their career or who's on a bit of a downward spiral then splits with their coach as well. Oftentimes it can send a message that the work here is done. You know, what else can we do? You know, you're not getting any better. You're actually getting worse. I'm not going to be able to help you with this stuff. You know, it has that sort of vague feel of an end of days sort of thing, doesn't it? But he may surprise us. He may turn around and say he's hired someone that, you know, we haven't thought of. You know, that's a possibility. He may just have decided to completely change tack. May have thought, right, now I'm this age, I need to do this rather than this. So I'm going to bring this guy in. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, your initial thought is obviously, well, doesn't sound particularly great for Djokovic, but we'll see.
That's what I thought. I thought to myself that, you know, we've seen sort of decline in Djokovic. And I just think now, even more so going into the French and Wimbledon, I think he is a fade on those markets. I believe that those prices premiums are far too short. Have you ever fired a PR team, Sean?
I've never had a PR. I mean, I probably could do with one.
Anyone wants to be Sean's PR team?
It's a strange one, isn't it? Why would you fire your PR team and split with your coach at the same time? Something's gone on there, hasn't it?
He must be short of a few quid. Must be short of some money.
Yeah, he must be struggling, old Novak.
It's the end of the tax year. The tax man's probably said, get rid of the PR team, save yourself a few quid.
Well, it might be the end of the tax year for you and I, but wherever he roots his money in various offshore places, I'm sure he'll be fine.
And one other thing, the clay court season starts next week, and I will be in Portugal this time next week. I'm going to Estoril for 2 days.
Now, so I think the last time they're playing that. I think that's off the calendar as of 2025. Yeah. I've been there two or three times. It's a nice tournament, but I think this is your last chance to enjoy it.
Yeah, so I'm out there in a couple of weeks, and obviously the clay court season comes through, and there's one price I've got to talk about. I messaged you, I put a tweet out this morning. Bet Rivers are offering 150-1 Lorenzo Musetti to win match.
French Open?
It's win the French Open. And I was going to get confused there. 150-1 to win the French Open. Obviously, he got beat by Alcaraz, and he's not in the... He's just had a child. He hasn't been in the best form all year. But 150-1, I thought it was a massive price.
He could go deep. You never know with Musetti, do you? When he's playing his best tennis, it's very easy on the eye. You know, it is effective. You know, he's beaten Alcaraz on clay. I just wonder whether he's got the consistency. You know, he seems to be a very streaky player. When he's good, he's really good. If you catch him on a good week, then, or a good fortnight in this case, then yes, he could certainly go. He's one of the guys that you would think that if he's playing his best, he could certainly make sort of quarter semis, and then you're in for a bit of interest, aren't you? So, yeah, quite possible.
I'm hoping 75-1 the place with the half the odds of 1-2, and we get drawn on the opposite side to Alcaraz. We've got a lively bet. I'm just taking a gamble that we get the right draw. Obviously,
that's always the gamble with the anti-post, isn't it? You know, if he gets in the same quarter as, you know, an Alcaraz or someone, then it doesn't look great. But if he avoids that and he's in with maybe Medvedev, then yeah, you've certainly got a decent run for your money.
I think it's a big price, 151. I think
he's got the new baby bounce, hasn't he?
Yep, exactly. I've got the baby bounce. He's lying. He's lying in there, wrecking the room up.
And it's too early for him to be up, isn't it?
Oh yes, it's only 30. Yeah,
he's still asleep.
Oh yeah, he's under them covers.
Oh, I can't see. There's been no movement.
I have to make sure he's alive in a minute.
There's been no movement behind you for this entire video.
I have to check on him. Anyway, that's been Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. I'm flying back tomorrow, so back on Friday. So I don't think there'll be anything more for myself and Sean, but check out the Instagram and check out the Twitter. And obviously, we'll be back on Sunday breaking down the clay court season that starts in Europe next week. Back to the more conventional times that we have done throughout this last couple of years. Before I go, remember, Bet Rivers do offer that Sunshine Double Parlay Boost. We're running out of matches now, but there are women's matches as well to put in for the Parlay Boost. A minimum of 3 bets to get up to 25% bonus on a parlay here at the Miami Open. Sean, enjoy your day, and we shall catch up at the weekend. Enjoy your day, everybody, and stay safe and let's cash some tickets. Good luck.